Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Production. Good evening. This is We Talk Production. One of the few black-owned radio stations. And you're live with the best mind in black America, Meshawn Williams. And this is the Cutting Edge Show. And Justin Jackson is co-hosting with me. This evening, we are discussing racial bias and brutality.
Hey.
Yes. Okay. Really?
Hello. This evening, can you hear?
I'm sorry, I've been having technical difficulties. We're discussing racial bias and police brutality, which unfortunately is the norm in the United States. We as black people shouldn't have to bear the burden of hostile and barbaric policing by racist cops who get to take paid leave and are protected by qualified immunity. Now, if you have any questions or comments, please dial 516-531-9540 and press 1.
Yeah, I mean, I think, can you hear me, Meshawn, okay?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that this is a, you know, very touching, you know, topic, you know, especially dealing with a lot of things that, you know, is going on right now in the media. And I'm sorry, I did miss your introduction a little bit. I know we got a lot of callers in here that want to tune in to you know, have something to say and things of that nature. So I definitely want to be able to make sure we get, you know, time, you know, to everyone else to be able to talk as well. But, you know, when we sit back and we look at, you know, what is going on, like what's going on, you know, not just in black America, but like what's going on in the judicial system. You know, we look at, we have Andrew Brown Jr. Who was shot in the back of the head and will not, and the officers, they said that it was justified because they, because Andrew used his vehicle as a weapon. I mean, I mean, maybe they got some different angles, you know. Maybe they got some, you know, so something that happened before that I hadn't seen yet. But so far, I haven't seen anything that looks like him using his car as a vehicle at all. Did you? Have you seen any of those videos? Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
All right, sorry about that. I guess, how much did you hear what I said?
I heard most of what you said.
Okay.
I agree. I haven't seen anything showing where he was a danger to anyone. And
right.
Also, I have taken a concealed carry class. I do own weapons, and I do know that at least for in the state of Illinois where I am, that if somebody breaks into your home or does something and they are retreating, their back is to you, it is illegal for you to shoot them because they say, and it was an ex-officer who gave us a class, that if a person is leaving and their back is to you, they are no longer a threat, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing how when a black person has a warrant or is accused of something.
But they're
going to
say, well, that's in the state of Illinois. This is North Carolina. It's different. It's different. It's different. It's different. It's different. It's different. That's it. They do something different. You know, that's what I hear.
They can take in a white person who is a serial killer, mass shooter, with no problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I 100% agree with you.
It's always a problem. But, you know, it all boils down to systemic racism. It goes all the way back to slavery when the slave patrols, which are now police officers, because that's its origins. And I think it also has a lot to do with the criminalization of black people. Looked as criminals, whether they're criminals or not. And also, doing my research, there are a lot of academic experts, a.k.a. social scientists, that played a role in defining black people as peculiar criminals or put them in a criminal class in the American population. And they use the census data to point to the disproportionate incarceration of black people. And they were three times overrepresented in census in southern prisons. And that began in 1880 with the 1880 census. And people began to build on that data and add to it. But it has racist origins.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, you and I can see this, but
right.
So many people don't. You know, and I feel like it's something you gotta be talked about. And I wanna make sure, you know, like I said, I know a lot of people have something to say. I wanna get 5073 in. 5073.
Okay.
We got you live in here. You have a question, a comment you wanted to contribute?
Yes, I do. My thing is, until all black people face the fact that whitey does not like us, don't think we're human, and don't stand up for themselves, it's going to continue. Some black people say, oh, they shouldn't have been out there doing this. Nobody has the right to tell us how we're supposed to act. And see, a lot of black people think, even with the white people, well, they shouldn't be doing stuff like that, or they shouldn't do it this. But that white people can do anything they want to until all black America stand together. They will continue to keep us in a box. You got to fight your way out of a box. And until we fight our way out of a box, it will continue. We will still be the lowly citizen, like on my job right now. I'm the only black person in the union. All the other black people, they fired some, one died, and one retired, not because he wanted to. He just retired because he felt like they would fire him because he was going to whoop somebody. I said, you know what, if we should be doing a class action lawsuit against this company. And
I'm
not retiring as long as they don't have other blacks in the company, and they don't right now. So we got to come out of our box and start fighting back.
Do you think you're the token?
No, I'm not the token. They just know they better not mess with me. That's why they haven't done anything to me yet. They would love to fire me. They would probably wanted to fire me because I speak my voice. And when I see stuff that ain't right, I let them know it ain't right. They don't like it. But they're afraid to mess with me. That's what the problem is. If they thought they could get me out of there, I'd have been gone long time ago. But I keep them on their toes.
Did you watch the video of Andrew Brown?
No, I did not.
Okay. Do you know anything about that situation?
Yeah, I saw where the one that was shot in the back of the head. Right.
What is your thought process on what? How do you feel? Do you think they was justified, or what do you think about it?
No, they weren't justified. Just like most of the killings of black men and women, it's never justified. It's justified according to them, their law for us. No, and we got to stop that. See, black people are afraid of white people. That's the way they act. People tell me I should keep my mouth shut. I say, why? They got one life just like I got. And if push comes to shove, I'm going to take somebody with me. I'm not going out by myself. Even in the Bible, they never conquered anything without fighting for it and fighting back. And we're so nonviolent. Why, they're just stepping all over us. We got to get away from that. Didn't nobody tell us that we had to be nonviolent? There's a time to be peaceful and a time to fight. And our time is overdue, 400 years. We behind time. We better start fighting for what we want. They can die just like us. I know it's sad to say, we need to start killing up some of them and let them know, you keep killing us, we going to fight back. You might get most of us, but you might be the one that die. And they'll stop that mess. They'll start making laws. When you start hitting them with the money and doing the same thing to them that they doing to us, they'll cut that mess out because they don't know where it's coming from. They're about to make me join some radical group because I'm sick and tired of it.
Well, I mean, I appreciate your comments and the things of nature. I want you to stay around, but I also want to get 8021 on, 8021. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. Hello, good evening. I just have one question. I just don't understand how we can make any changes when it comes to policing and police brutality against black people when there is no recognition by the majority group, the people in power, that there's any disparity that exists for real. Like, there's no acknowledgement, like, okay, this actually is a problem. It's every excuse and every explanation as to what something really is. It's like you're looking directly at something, video, live video, and somebody's telling you. You're not seeing what you're actually looking at. So it's like, how do you move past correcting a problem when you don't acknowledge it to begin with? That's the main issue, because everybody seems to have their own perspective on what something is. There's always some reason or you where you weren't supposed to be or where you weren't supposed to be doing, or the fact that you should have complied more or you didn't comply quick enough, or you should just answer the question, or you should just give your ID. There's always something there that puts the responsibility on the civilian and takes it completely off of the person who's actually holding the gun. We can't ever move beyond that, because as a whole, as a majority, as the people that can make change, nobody is going to recognize and raise their hand and say, okay, yeah, this is some BS. And we are treating these people differently on average, more so. Okay, there's crooked people that do all kinds of people wrong in all kinds of groups, but we're looking at the disparity in the numbers. But nobody's going to raise their hand and say, yes, we are being racist. And it's like, until you get to that point, can you really resolve anything? The first steps with AA and Narcotic Anonymous and all that is recognizing that you have a problem to begin with. And it's like, some people recognize it, but it's not enough people in the right group that are recognizing it. So it's like we just go round and round and round and round in circles, because that's the main issue. If you put that out there first, then everything else would come down from, you know, would trickle down from there. But there's no major recognition that it is a problem. Like, they, nobody can see. Like, even the treatment of the folks that was climbing all over the Capitol on January 6th is completely
yep.
different treatment. But nobody's recognized. They're, now they're on TV literally saying, I don't know who the gentleman was. I'm sorry?
They said, they was on TV saying, one of the senators said that he didn't feel threatened. He said he would have felt more threatened if it would have been a Black Lives Matter protest.
Correct.
Coming
right.
in.
But nobody recognizes the clarity in that statement. You know,
yeah.
or they say, somebody said recently that we shouldn't be using the word insurrection. It wasn't insurrection. And if you look at some of the pictures, it looks like it was just somebody touring the building. Like,
oh,
you know
wow.
what I'm saying? It's like, it's so off. And to try to make you think you're crazy. You're not seeing and hearing what you're seeing and hearing. So I don't see how we can ever really move forward and make any change from that unless people recognize, in the right group of people in the right group in the right quantities, recognize that it really I will make any of the changes you need to make.
No, I can completely agree. And, you know, and see where you come from. I guess, did you get to see the video of Andrew?
No, I don't watch any of those because they're very triggering. If I was sitting in a jury somewhere and somebody is showing me something as evidence, I'm going to look at it. But just at this, where I know, I'm not going to look at any of those things. No. Mm-mm.
We got to, you know, one thing that we got to make sure we all do, and this goes for everybody, we got to make sure we're protecting our mental health. You know, we got to always, you know, put that first. But I also want to get 1111 on the line as well. Did they 1111? Did you have a question or a comment you wanted to bring on?
Hello.
Yes.
I was making sure it was me. Yes, I have I do have a comment. I've seen this video, and clearly he wasn't trying to hit the police officer with his car because you could see that he went around. You know, he hit the brake and he went on. He clearly didn't try to use that weapon as you know, trying to hit them with that car. And then I noticed they didn't even, you know, they didn't serve him a warrant or anything. They just ran up on him and threw the guns out. I think they said police, I'm not sure. And when he drove off, they just got the shoe. To me, they should be held accountable for that because that's not how you go and arrest somebody. He didn't even have a gun in his hand, you know, and that's what I don't understand. So why are they not being accountable for what they done?
Yep. 100%. I think we saw the same video because, like, I'm trying to figure out what angle that the prosecutor must see that changes that. Because from what I'm seeing, I'm like, okay, I don't agree that he ran from the cops. Okay, you're not supposed to run from the cops. Okay, and so what? Nobody's perfect. But even if someone, they're not being perfect, it is your job, it's your responsibility to, you know, still do your job. You know, like, this man clearly tried to go around. If he was trying to use the car as a weapon, he would have went to the right, not the left. If he wanted to use, if there was any inclination at all to try to hit an officer, he would have went to the right. That's where they were, lined up next to each other, easy targets. He went to the left.
He didn't shoot any. He didn't hit anybody with the car. You clearly see that he didn't touch nobody with the car at all.
The police officer jumped in front of a car to try to make it seem like he was trying. Like you could clearly see it. I'm like, yo, if you jump in front of a car, that's on you. Like, that's on you. You know, if you jump in front of a car, like. You can't say, oh, you're trying to use it as a weapon now. Like, no. We learn, look both ways before you cross the street. A car can hit and kill you. So when you tried to jump on top of the car, that was a you. You know, I'm just like, you know, And, like, one, my thing is, one thing that I always like to point out, you know, I think is crazy that all the officers were white. You know, in that backseat of the truck, all of them were white. Every one of them. Anybody else catch on to that? You know, like.
Also, I want to mention, there was a Eugene Williams. He was a 17-year-old black boy. Was stoned to death by white people in 1919 after he swam into what they deemed the wrong part of Lake Michigan. In response, black people in Chicago rose up in protest, and white people attacked them. More than 500 people were injured, and 38 people were killed. Afterwards, the city convened a commission to study the causes of the violence. The commission found systemic participation in mob violence by the police. Khalil Muhammad is a professor of history, race, and public policy at Harvard Kennedy School and author of the book, The Combination of Blackness, Race, Crime, and the Making of Modern Urban America, told Fox in an interview, when police officers had the choice to protect black people from white mob violence, they chose to either aid and abet white mobs or to disarm black people or to arrest them. In the process of compiling the report, white experts also testified that the police are systematically engaging in racial bias where they're targeting black suspects. Muhammad said the report should have been the death of systemic police racism and discrimination in America. And that was in 1922, 99 years ago. And we're still having the same problem.
Let me ask you this. Did you see on TV where they passed a bill to stop Asian, stop hate on Asia or something? Now, why don't black people have that same bill?
Well,
no,
I got
stop
better.
Hate
I got
on black
better
people.
Than that. I got something better than that, right? I need to know what this actor's name is. I'm so upset. Hold on. I need to...
Everybody talk.
I'm sitting here looking for this actor. So, like, there was this actor, this brother. I'm trying to think of his name. I'm going to be looking up his name, as we're trying. But he put it in a very eloquent way. You know, one of the things he was talking about, he looked at the Black Lives Matter movement, right? And one of the things that, you know, he presented was like, you know, like when we say Black Lives Matter, when we talk about promoting black or leveling the playing fields for black people, you know, not giving a handout or anything like that, but like just like, hey, look at what's going on. We put the attention towards black. There's always opposition no matter what. We said Black Lives Matter. We was met with opposition. Blue Lives Matter. That later became All Lives Matter. But, you know, that's when it becomes a black people. But then he switched the foot. He flipped the script and said, but when you look at, you know, this Asian hate, why was there no opposition? What happened to all hate? Where is Fox and the Republicans that's coming down to PC culture, you know, and talk about all hate. We're talking about stopping Asian hate. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, that sounds all right. Yeah, we shouldn't be hating on Asians. We should stop Asian hate. Black people say, hey, Black Lives Matter. Whoa. Black Lives Matter. Buddy, all lives matter. What's up? You know, when people say that they don't get it, they don't see, I'm like, I don't know how you're missing it. It was a hot summer day, snake would have bit you in the face. It's like, I don't know how you're missing it, man. Like, am I the only one seeing this? I mean, to me, it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. I talked to a friend of mine, well, a friend of mine's father, who's also a friend of mine, you know. But and we was chatting, and he was talking about when he grew up, and he was talking about, like, he was born, I think he said he was born, like, 1970 or something like that, you know. And, like, I was, you know, we was talking about history. And, like, I was just explaining, like, you know, the stuff that we're talking about, like, that wasn't that long ago. You know, like, people want to talk about Martin Luther King, like, that was hundreds of years ago. You know? Like the 60s wasn't that far ago. I mean, we're talking about my grandparents' era. You know, like, I told him, like the gentleman I was talking to, you know, I was like, you're talking about your parents. That was their generation that was out there in the street. That was teenagers at the time. You know? Like, so, like, it ain't like this is, like, so when people were like, well, how did we take so many steps backwards? I'm like, whoa, backwards? What do you mean? We're still making steps forward. I mean, you forget that in the 1960s, 1970, Martin Luther King was the most hated man in America. Poll study shows. He's one of the most hated. Like, everybody want to sit here and praise Martin Luther King. When Martin Luther King was doing what Martin Luther King was doing, he got met with All Lives Matter protests. You know, when they started marching, the March on Selma, the first March on Selma, so look at it. Those are police officers. Those are bats. Those are dogs. Those are firemen. Those are water holes. There are an angry mob of white people, some deputized, some are not, and they pick up rocks, everything they can, pepper spray, and just because they wanted to vote. And people say, well, how we get so far? I'm like, yo, that right there, that was my grandparents. Those were my grandparents and my great grandparents. That's who we're talking about here. My mom was born in 66. My mom was born during that time period. I have a friend, a great poet. He was talking to me about his dad. His dad went to a segregated school. His father. So, like, when people are trying to sit here, and they always, like, when we start talking about history, they always want to, like, shake the curtain. You know, they always want to, like, look at it, you know, through certain types of lenses. And be like, oh, well, this, that, you know, why you got to go back here? I'm like, that wasn't that long ago, you know. And like, I want to keep it going, you know. I want to, you know, pick up everything. But I want to get, you know, 4932 on the mic. 4932, did you have a question or comment that you want to bring into the conversation?
It's the Black Boot. What's happening, y'all?
How we doing?
Hi. Doing great. Well, y'all know y'all on my subject. You know that. Yes, sir. And the callers made great points. You were making great points. I wanted to say that, number one, as well as the fact that I got to give out a shout out to Tariq Nasheed because he just put out the new movie. You can catch it on Amazon. It's called Bug Breaking. If you haven't got it, get that son of a bitch. I haven't got it yet myself, but I'm going to get it. Excuse my French. Another thing, too, is anybody that's on here that's anywhere close to Atlanta, get to Atlanta. RZA Islam is going to be doing some question and answer. If you don't know RZA Islam, get your studies up because this is a bad young brother. This brother is highly intelligent. He's out there promoting the movie as well. So anyway, real quick, that was that shout out to Tariq Nasheed and his work, which I believe RZA is on there as well. Anyway, my point is, number one, I don't say Black Lives Matter anymore. I gave that up. Tariq Nasheed has a better thing. I've been trying to get brothers and sisters to get on, which is no black no black race. No, I got that. I got the damn shirt. Let me get it real quick so I can get y'all on point here. It's called no anti-black racism. Instead of saying Black Lives Matter, because Black Lives Matter has been taken over by everything from gays, lesbians, to humpbacks, everything like that, which Dr. Claude Anderson said that would happen, things like that. Another point that was made that really hit home was the original caller was talking about how we as a people is scared of white folks, but I think it's more than just that. I think it's just that we settle. You know, one little thing happens. Look how quiet black people have gotten since just the trial of the Chauvin case. But y'all forgot about the baby, the girl over here in Louisville. What about her? What this dude just shot up there? The man in which you mentioned. I can tell you one thing that would help change. I think that wasn't that in front of his house when that happened.
What
was that in front of his house? Where they shot that man, that boy in the back of the head?
Yeah,
in his car. I tell you what. Mm-hmm. That was my kid or whoever, I'm coming out there blazing. That's something that's got to change with us. We got to show them jokers, okay, we ain't going to sit here with no goddamn cameras. I'm coming out with my shit. You dig?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell them, put the goddamn camera down, let's go at it. That's the thing. And it doesn't take very many of us to change things. You know, like a lot of people are like, you know, it's just like – the white people who are quiet, they act like, well, we ain't racist, so we ain't going to say nothing about it. You're just as racist, you know? You're just as racist because you are enjoying your white privilege. While your white privilege ass is sitting there eating and sleeping, I got to tell my kids, be careful to be around police officers, which I pay my goddamn taxes to protect us. You know,
yeah, it's funny when we talk about taxes. When a black person talks about taxes, it's always assumed like, "Oh, you don't pay any taxes." You
know? Right? They throw that assumption out there.
Our taxpayer dollars don't matter.
Like, right? And as a matter of fact, we pay more in taxes because most of us don't have businesses, so then we affect it that way. You know, because your paycheck, there's more that comes out of a paycheck than there is out of a business. You know, the thing, we also are the ones that get stopped the most. In order to get out of it, guess what? You got to pay all that money. Guess where that's going to? That's taxes. Mm-hmm. We pay way more in taxes. I can't even fathom. The last time I got stopped, I can remember, they took AM pound in my car and everything. They took my whole daggum check, dude. I was ready to just kill somebody. And the sucker was really lucky that he is a cop. And he was talking about, you resisting, yada, yada. I said, dude, I'm not resisting. But I just want to know, like, there was 7 cars. There was me in front and all these other cars. What made you run my place? You can't tell me I wasn't targeted. You cannot say one damn iota about me not being targeted because you went straight for the nigga that was up in the and I ain't had no raggedy vehicle at that time. It was a straight red car that
not at that time, huh?
No. I had no raggedy vehicle in years at that point, you know. And the thing of it is, you know, everything else checked out, but, you know, for whatever reason, he hit me up on that insurance thing, and I beat that, of course, because I couldn't find my paperwork because I was upset, so damn mad at that point. I'm up there like, dude, I've never been handcuffed. I know several people who are in your damn police thing, and you doing this. Okay, cool. We'll see how that sticks. But the whole thing of it is,
you know, the way they look at it, they family, they gonna it's the blue wall.
Here's the damn thing. It ain't no blue wall because you ain't blue, fool. Only Smurfs are. So what you are is a race soldier. That's what I'm gonna call you, like you truly are. You are a race soldier. You're a racist. Mm-hmm. They sitting up there talking about reforming people. Don't reform nobody. Get racists out of the goddamn police force. That's what you do. You take them out and get that money that I be spending on they ass and put it in back in my neighborhood instead of these raggedy jokers who are just constantly pushing the – they always talk about the race card. You guys got the race card. But yeah,
what I like to ask them is they always say people want to use the race card. My question is, when do you think it's appropriate? Because every time you hear it, it's obviously never appropriate. So, but you acknowledge that it does exist. So when is it appropriate? You know. But I want to get 6598 on the mic as well. 6598. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question or comment that you want to bring forth?
I have a comment.
Okay.
I believe that black people need to change their way of thinking and stop allowing everybody else to piggyback our movement. I know that when they passed the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which ended segregation in public places, you know, and banned employment discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sexual, or national origin. I know that it was one of the crowning legislative achievements of the civil rights movement. But also at the same time, we allowed them, when I say them, other groups to come in, whether it be for women, will it be for LGBTQ
XYZ
to come on our back? But at the same time, yeah, we got some rights, but then they just pushed us to the backside. And black people didn't keep standing up for our rights that were passed for us. And it seems that we just, you know, just accepted, okay, we won this. You know, we won the rights that we had, but they have not been implemented for us. Maybe in some cases, but not in all cases. We needed it for every single black person across the board, because every time someone comes up for something, whether it be someone getting killed accidentally, whether somebody getting killed on purpose, and someone gets a payout, okay, like he said, we sit down and we're complacent with that. But then when the Asians got killed, automatically they came up with the bill. Okay, how come we black people didn't jump on their bill? How come we stay complacent and just look at, watch all of this and say, wow, they're really killing Asians? I'm like, so what? They're killing us too.
They ain't even killing Asians.
And don't get me wrong. I ain't got no prejudice right there for none of them. But it's the simple fact that we are being killed and slaughtered every single minute of the day, and everybody's just sitting back watching TV, doing what they're doing, going on about their business. Yeah, we can march for a minute for some rights, but then next thing you know, okay, they've quieted us down. How come we don't keep it in the news? How come we don't, you know, get leaders?
I have a question for you or anybody else that wants to chime in. Anybody black that voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, don't you think that it is a slap in the face to black people when Joe Biden can make an executive order to protect Asians.
Exactly.
And did not do nothing for black people who put
He's going to say he gave you 1,400. Be happy.
No, he gave everybody 1,400. It wasn't just us.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
And like I said before, everyone but our black people are being acknowledged in the Capitol. Even if they say, well, we're glad to see justice came for this person, but what about the rest of the people out here that they still slaughtered?
Mm-hmm.
Where's our bill at?
I don't think justice came for them because I don't think nothing really happened to them compared to what happened to black people. So, no,
right.
I don't feel that that is justice at all. It's not even close.
Exactly. And that's why I was saying, why are we sitting here doing nothing? We need to make Joe Biden and Kamala and everyone else
accountable
for their actions. Because if they're not going to take care of us and we put them there, we have the power to take him out.
Well, you know what? Okay, I hear you. But same black people that voted for him is talking now. Most of them will go back and vote for Democrats again. They will lie to you, use you for your vote, pop up in your churches, show up where they go, and they'll say, oh, we may do something for you, might throw it up in there. They're not going to make it with no promise. And then they're going to yell and say, well, y'all, those Republicans, them scary Republicans, you can't let the Republicans in. You got to vote for it. What you need to do is keep those Republicans out of office. But what they do is black people, they've been using black people. Black people have been voting for the Democrats for over 40 years. And they still haven't done anything for them. So, like,
that
you know
is
what? Ice Cube was totally right.
Okay, that is true. But at the same time, as I have called in and I have said before, black people need to leave the Democrats, we need to leave the Republicans, and we need to form our own party and bring our demands to the table so that we can be heard. Everybody can be shocked about it, but our numbers say that we can do it, especially if we are the people who are running the economy and setting all the trends.
Am I still on?
Yes.
Yep.
You are. Go ahead.
Real quick. One thing that not only Ice Cube, but even before him, we had a movement of people who elected not to vote, at least not in the presidential election, unless they had met our demands of reparations. And that will set apart them, because I don't care what anybody says, Democrats it is impossible for them to win without black folks. But we got to get everybody on board. We have to get everybody on board.
I don't even think we need everybody on board. If we take half or a fourth, they'll lose.
Yeah. It will be a big change. Yeah. Another thing too that I was seeing on the TV on the news earlier this morning, and I don't know if you guys heard about the teacher that saved everybody or whatever from this girl, the white girl going to blow or shoot up the school or whatever. Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah, the white girl. Yeah.
While this was going on, they interviewed her, and she comes out of her silence was the title. But bigger than that was what she was saying. She said, she was doing this and all this, and I just gave her a big old hug, and she just needed some help. I'm thinking, y'all want to put our 11-year, I think it was 11-year-old or something, that something happened in school where he hit a kid or something that,
anyway,
they went to jail for that. The biggest thing is when they own the all nine areas of activities, from anything from the media politics, to sex, to religion, everything. They control that. The racists control that. And they're controlling the narrative. While we're supposed to feel sorry for this gangster, I'm going to call it out, this gangster raggedy thug that was girl that was going to kill everybody, nobody looks out for our babies. And most of the time, they are protecting themselves. Like, they made that Asian crime. They didn't make that for Asians. They made that against us for whenever them Asians get all smart at you. I didn't see Asians beat the hell out of black women in their shops. And ain't nobody saying nothing about helping them out and stuff, and ain't nobody caring about. Right. It ain't going to change until things change is they tell you not to be violent, but damn it, that's the only time we change things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's true. But at the same time, even though we have been violent, to have things change, what we haven't done is, again, like I said before, took our dollars away from them and create our own economy again. But this time, do not allow them to come in and tear it down.
Well, go ahead.
They need to take their money out of church also. People need to keep their money, for real.
Yep. Keep your money. If your church ain't giving back to black businesses, keep your money. That should be automatic. Are you gonna give this money to the black church, to the black? Because I know.
Black church. Black church put their money in a white bank, who will turn around and not even give a black person a loan.
Nah. And you sitting up there in your hoopty, and they got in a Cadillac.
Exactly.
Tell you to
donate.
So I think black
ain't no donation. That's an offering.
Right.
Donate.
I like how they switched that up.
That's like they did to the Black Wall Street.
It is more of a blessing to
get
give than to give. What the hell?
Community.
God don't need my money. Right.
Let me bless you. Hook me up. Let me bless you. Jimmy, give me all your money.
Give me that blessing. Give me that true blessing.
Yeah. Exactly. And see, black people need to go back to what they were doing before, because when people were making it, selling CDs out their trunk, you know, going around selling plates through the neighborhood, black people were supporting each other, because that money was staying right there in the neighborhood. It was helping somebody do some good for their family in our own neighborhood. That's where we need to go back to.
But those same people, those same people who build sold out. Those same people who build sold out. Segregation,
not Master P.
The mindset has really killed the black nation. Huh?
Not Master P. Master P was trying to show everybody how to become millionaires.
Right, right. Exactly. There's very few Master P's out there. Him, Ice Cube, you know, there's several others, but there's not most of those people who big moguls and things like that. For instance, like what's the dude, Dame Dash and all that. You know, they were good. They was like, okay, we ain't gonna keep this black owned black business, black everything going. That's okay. I made the money. No, nobody else need to make no money.
Yeah, but that's true only until the white man stepped in and bought out some of their company.
That's the whole point. Instead of letting them buy it out. Right.
Exactly. And
but
see,
that's the
and
whole
then
point
at the same
that I was
time,
making.
They need to go ahead.
Well, that was the whole point that I was making. All of them sold out instead of, you know, even Motown. No,
exactly.
You couldn't beat
and see, I know a lot of people put down the Nation of Islam, but the thing is that you don't see none of them messing with the Nation of Islam, do you?
None of them. None of them.
Because
only thing they can
they
do,
are running their own
organization. Only thing they can do is kick Farrakhan off of Facebook.
Exactly. Because, like they said, if black people would come together, what a force we would be.
They could come together if they leave religion out of it.
Leave everything out of it. Leave everything
like
except for black first.
One,
black
nation
first.
Of Islam, the Nation of Islam, I'm like, they have their own. And like we said,
yeah, but they're
they
still
don't have
black
to worry
first,
about
though.
That.
But they're still black first. That's why they Nation of Islam and not a regular old Islamic church, because they go by the nation. They help the black people.
Because they are, as they said, they are a nation within a nation.
That's right.
And that's where all black people need to be, a nation within
a nation.
A
within
nation.
A nation. You got to be black first.
All
our own
laws,
our own forces.
In the mix.
That's right. Keep going.
And
our own everything.
Black people that will sit around and listen to what you say, and they want to run back and tell white man what you're doing. They can make plans to stop whatever it is.
The Nation of Islam took care of those people, too. They took care of those people, too.
Mm-hmm.
They took care of those people, too, did they not? They're
yes,
not
ma'am.
Here no more. They are not here no more.
Wait a minute. Who ain't here no more? Because I know there's coons.
I said a lot of them that did go back and snitch and tell, they not here no more.
Yeah, it's enough of them. Too many of them left.
Who's
they still
out
here.
Who are you talking about, a snitch?
I'm talking about people, say if a black person is organizing, trying to do something to help their community, there's always somebody black who's there that's ready to run back and let the white man know what your plans are and what you're doing so they can be prepared to mess you up any way they can.
Yeah, and that's when we can take that same person and go ahead and put them out of the nation and let them go on with their folks. And then when they're out there with their folks, and then they going to take care of them eventually themselves, because we ain't going to let them back in.
I think we're going to have to get a unique screening process.
Some of them. We'll go to other
I mean, one thing is, it's like we got to be aware that with the economy the way it is, that's what they're trying to stop. Like, a lot of people don't realize what the Black Panthers of Self-Defense did when they shocked the nation was that, you know,
they took care of their own.
They was organizing. They was preaching. They were teaching. Mm-hmm. They had
right.
a foundation. They had codes. They had ethics. They had levels. They was getting
right.
organized. They was like, whoa, we
right.
can't have
anybody
we can't have
that organizes. I don't care what it is. It will work.
That's what I tell them.
If everybody goes,
no matter what are you doing, it will work.
If everybody would do just like every other group does, which is called. Your group first, black first. If you do that, I don't give a damn who you are. If you blind, crippled, crazy, LGBTQ, whatever, black first. If you go by that code, you don't have to get in line.
Exactly.
You already got a code. Everybody else lives by the code.
You have a problem with the religious community because they're going to say, oh, but I'm just.
Hey, even that religious community can be that.
Yes.
That
what,
religious
what,
community can be.
We might have to separate from them too.
I think
no
the
problem.
Because number one, I am black first, always.
Yeah.
Always.
The problem is, I think the problem is when some black people get ahead, then it's others that try to pull them down. That's why we never get ahead, because
right.
there's always somebody
exactly.
trying to pull them down and badmouth them and do all this crazy stuff, and that's why we can't get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
if
jealousy.
They all work together, if everybody worked together, we would be way further than we are now. But that, you
exactly.
know, there's always somebody sitting in the corner mad because you're doing better than they are.
Crap.
Exactly. because there are a lot of single mothers out here who could help each other
yeah.
out, especially, okay, one mother go to work in the day, the other mother go to work at night, but everybody's kids would be taken care of because everybody used to, a long time ago, take care of everybody's kids. Nobody's kid went unnoticed because it was a community watching out for that kid.
Well, they better call in some of their daddies because I ain't going to do all that babysitting. They better make them.
That's true. Everybody, back in the day, everybody looked out for everybody else.
Find
you
out
didn't, you didn't have the stuff that you got going on now. You could go to, if you didn't have sugar, you could go to this person's house and they, you know what I mean, somebody going to, you know, help you out. Same with kids. If you whoop that child, that parent didn't come there and try to get you about that child. You tell them something, they don't come back and do nothing. They get on that child about what they did.
Exactly. And we had our own barter system.
You're right.
But mostly back in those days, didn't they have a two-parent household?
No,
not necessarily.